scripture reading this evening is in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin our reading with the 22nd verse. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. To the north of the Sea of Galilee, there are three tributaries that form the Jordan River that flow into that sea. And over 1900 years ago, the Son of God stood at a place called Caesarea Philippi, one of the three sources of the Jordan River. In the background was a massive bit of rock. And there he asked his disciples the question, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they responded, Some say Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? And Peter, speaking up, said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. The Lord is coming towards the end of his ministry, and we have it recorded for us in the 6th chapter of John's Gospel. Many of them, following upon the teaching of Christ, were turning from him. Many of his disciples, it said, forsook him. And turning to the 12, he asked this question, Will you also go away? And again Peter speaks up. Lord, he said, To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure. By the way, that's the only way you can be sure, when you believe. We believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Son of God. Upon this rock I will build my church. They tell the story years ago, a preacher was preaching on the street corner in Ireland, and there was a fellow in the audience, and he was jeering a little bit, and the preacher had been preaching on Christ, the rock of our salvation. He said, "Let's hear a little bit about the shamrock." And the preacher said, "On Christ, salvation rests secure. All other rocks are sham rocks. Other foundation, says the scripture, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Peter quotes here from Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16. In Isaiah 28 and verse 16, this is what you read. "Thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. And he," says Peter, "that believes on him shall not be confounded." He is a tried stone. And this speaks to us of Christ's perfect life. For he had to be without spot and without blemish to qualify as a foundation for faith. The scripture says he was tested in all points as we are, set apart. Let's hear the voices of three of his apostles. Peter, who accompanied with him for 3.5 years, says in this very chapter from which we have read, he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. He testified to the sinless character of the Lord Jesus. Let's hear the voice of the Apostle John, the beloved disciple. He says, he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Let's hear the voice of the Apostle Paul. He says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He was tested as to his life in all points as we are, sin apart. But not only was he tested by his life, he was tested in his death. The scripture says he's a precious cornerstone. We are being built, says the scripture, upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. No other hope shall intervene. To him we look, on him we lean. Other foundations we disown and build on Christ, God's living stone. Peter tells us how precious that stone is. He says, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Think of the value of the death of Christ. I love those lines written by Francis Ridley Havergal. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary, shed for rebels, shed for sinners, shed for me. Precious, precious blood of Jesus. All the price is paid. Full atonement now is offered. Peace is made. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, ever flowing free. Oh, believe it. Oh, receive it. It's for thee. Christ shed his precious blood to redeem us, the precious cornerstone. But we not only have a Savior that lived here and that died here, But we have one who lives in the power of an endless life. He's a sure foundation. The Bible says, because he lives, I shall live also. It says, because he lives, he's able to say to the very end, all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. And I love that verse in 2 Timothy 2:19. It says, the foundation of God stands sure. What makes it sure? The Lord knows them that are his. Peter denied the Lord 3 times, even with an oath and a curse. Didn't look much like one of the Lord's, did he? He went so far as to say something like this, to bring it down in modern-day parlance. He swore that he didn't know Christ. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, they say when you come into a courtroom? Peter swore, as it were, and he said, I swear that I do not know the man. And on top of that, he called down a curse on himself. We've heard people say, may God strike me dead if I'm not telling the truth. They call down a curse on themselves. And yet, when the Lord Jesus arose from the dead, the Scripture tells us the first person other than the women that he saw was Cephas. You read that in 1 Corinthians 15. He went to this disciple who had denied him. And in John chapter 21, we have not the record of that, but another record. When the Lord Jesus is speaking to Peter, says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, I know it doesn't look like it, but thou knowest all things. The Lord knows them that are his. Sometimes when our life doesn't look the way it should be, we can fall back on the realization, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Well, this verse, our chapter starts out in chapter 2 on a negative note. And that's the way God always starts out with the sinner, on a negative note. You ever thought about that? If you could sum up in one word all that the prophets of the Old Testament had to say, you could take this one word, turn. God is saying through his prophets, you're going in the wrong direction and you need to turn around. Let the wicked forsake his way. He has to say no to his way. That's what repentance is. It's to change your mind. It's to turn around. It's to take sides with God against your sin, rather than taking side with your sin against God. That's what repentance is. You say, Lord, I've been going in the wrong direction, but I'm going to turn around. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. God is not interested in your thoughts. Well, we need to be interested in his thoughts, because that's going to decide the issue. As the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. And salvation comes when the sinner is willing to accept God's thoughts about him, and to see himself as guilty and lost and condemned and hopeless and helpless. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You have to turn. And let him return unto the Lord, and he may abundantly pardon. Did you ever read that? That isn't what it says. And he will abundantly pardon. The first thing that the grace of God does in a man's life is to teach him to say no. The grace of God, Paul writing to Titus says, the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, you say no, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Some of you will remember a popular singer in America, Bing Crosby. And one of the songs that he made popular was one that went something like this. You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In-Between. Remember that? Well, that's what the Bible says. You've got to eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. God puts it in two words, right in the very opening of our Bible. He says that when the man gets married to his wife, it says he's to leave his father and mother and to cleave unto his wife. Leave! That's a negative thing. Leave! Cleave! That's a positive thing. And if a person cleaves, he'll leave. The love of Christ constrains us. For we thus judge, says the apostle, that if one died for all, then all of us have died, that we which live should not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us and rose again. It enables you to say no. Mr. Chalmers of Scotland who spoke of what he said was the expulsive power of a new affection. You know what enabled you to say goodbye to all the girls that you've got in the little black book? It's just one. When you find the one that you want, you can say goodbye to all the rest very easily. And when you fall in love with Christ, you can say goodbye to the rest. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, let us lay aside every weight. That's negative. And the sin which does so easily beset us, that's all negative. And let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The way to eliminate the negative is to accentuate the positive. That's what it's saying here. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies, all of these things that characterize your life before you came to Christ, they have no part in the Christian life. There's no room for the flesh. There's no room for the operation of the flesh. All, it says. Malice, all guile, all hypocrisy, all envy, all evil speaking. These are to have no part whatever, no place whatever in the Christian's life. And instead of that, having tasted the Lord that is gracious, that the Lord is gracious, we focus our attention on Him. And there are just three words that I want to dwell on tonight. Key words, it seems to me. To whom coming? And I'm sure that when Peter wrote these words under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he thought back to that incident when the Lord said to him, will ye also go away? And he responded, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom? To whom coming? As unto a stone disallowed, indeed of men. You see, salvation, blessing, it depends on our focus on a person. We come to a person. We come to Christ. We come to Him, first of all, for salvation. He says, come unto me. Not come to church. Not come to some creed. He says, come unto me. And I will give you rest. Peter is in the boat. And they're crossing the sea. And they see the appearance, it looked almost like a ghost to them, walking on the water. Stormy night, dark night. And then Peter says, Lord, if it be thou bid me be able to walk in the water. That's not what he says. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee. Bid me come to thee. Bid me come to thee. He wanted to be with Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 1. John the Baptist is speaking, and he points to the Lamb of God the first day. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's what you need first, to get a glimpse of His work, what He's done for us. And then the next day he calls attention to the person of Christ. He says, behold the Lamb of God. And it says two of John's disciples left and they were following Jesus. And the Lord Jesus turned around and says, what do you want? What seekest thou? And they said, Master, where dwellest thou? We want to be where you're at. Come. Come. He said, and see. We come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. We come to the Lord Jesus for security.
And he has given us his word that him that comes to me become to a person. I shall in no wise cast out. He not only gives the sinner the assurance that if he comes to him that he will receive him, he gives him the assurance that he will never, never cast him out. Blessed assurance. Not only salvation, do we come to Christ for salvation, we come to him for security, and we come to him for satisfaction. On that last day, that great day of the feast, John 7 tells us, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. When our Savior stood with that woman in John chapter 4, that Samaritan woman, he said concerning Jacob's well, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy head, thou weary one. Lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and drink the living water, thirsty ones. Stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched. My soul revived and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy days be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of life I'll walk till traveling days are done. In the 34th Psalm, the psalmist says, he saves, he keeps, and he satisfies. Psalm 34, verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. He saves. He keeps, he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. He satisfies. Oh, says the psalmist, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed, happy is the man that trusts in him. Mary came to Jesus. She sat at his feet and she heard his word. We come to the Lord Jesus not only for salvation and security and satisfaction. We come to him for schooling. Take my yoke upon you, it says, and learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Mary sat at Jesus' feet. The scripture says, and heard his word. And when you sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word, you get light. She's the only one, apparently, that was aware of the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to rise from the dead. It says in John chapter 20 concerning the disciples, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, though he had told them repeatedly they hadn't drunk it in. But of Mary, the Lord Jesus said, when she poured an alabaster box upon his feet and upon his head, he said, against the day of my burying, as she kept this. She came beforehand, he said, to anoint my body to the burial. No sense going there like those women did when he had already risen from the dead. Too late. She did it 6 days before the Savior went to the cross. You know, you learn something when you sit at Jesus' feet. Upon this rock, I will build my church. You know, it's a wonderful thing to realize that the building of the Lord Jesus' church does not depend on you and me. He uses us, yes. Except the Lord build the house, the scripture says, they labor in vain that build. He calls on us to be associated with him in the work. But he says, I will build my church. He's the builder, but we must come to him. Without faith, says the scripture, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. What do we do when we read the Word of God? Are we seeking him? Are we saying as we read the Word of God, I would see Jesus? To whom coming? It's not church. It's Christ. It's not creed. It is Christ. It's not communion. It's Christ. It's not the cross. It's Christ. You know, the Christian life, while it is difficult, it's simple. Because God has put before us one object of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. We just have one before our vision. And Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Because he knew Christ here. And he was going to know him on the other side. The object of his faith was one person. David says, this one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may behold the beauty of the Lord. To whom coming? Lord, to whom shall we go? He's the living stone. But it says, we also as living stones are being built up on him. He's the foundation, but we are being built up on him. He's the gathering center of his people. We sang, gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus, losing sight of all but thee. Oh, what joy thy presence gives us, calling up our hearts to thee. We are occupied with a person. This one thing I do. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10? He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, a fold, as someone has said, is an enclosure without a center. And he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. A flock is a circumference. Without a circumference with only a center. The Lord Jesus in the midst of his people and all the sheep gathered around him. He is the gathering center of his people. He says in his word, gather my saints together unto me. To whom coming? We come to him. It says he's a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Our Lord Jesus is still rejected by the world at large. The prophet Isaiah says he is despised of and rejected of men. He says he was despised and rejected of men. It says both of those things in Isaiah 53. And both are still true. If we're going to be faithful to Christ, we'll discover if we come to him, it's going to separate us from that which is not of him. To whom? Coming. As under stone. Disallowed indeed of men. But chosen of God and precious. We recognize the value that God has put upon his Son. And we join with him in appreciation of his lovely Son. In Hebrews 13 it says, the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we see have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. The Lord Jesus is outside of this world's religion, outside of this world's politics, this world's idea. But he calls us to himself. To whom? Coming. As of the stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. In John chapter 9, you remember the story of the blind man to whom the Lord Jesus had restored his sight, and they had decided already that if anyone confessed him openly, he was to be kicked out of the synagogue, and that meant a good deal in those days, to be ostracized. It meant that you couldn't get a job, for one thing. No one would employ you when you were kicked out of the synagogue. But this man boldly bore witness to his faith in Christ. He says, well, I don't know whether he's a prophet or not, but one thing I do know
I was blind,
but now I see. And the scripture says when Jesus had heard that they'd cast him out, he came to this man and he asked this question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? That's the fundamental question. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the foundation for our faith. It doesn't rest on men. It rests on the Christ of God. Do you believe that? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe?
Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee, said the Lord Jesus. And the man, it says, worshipped him. And it has been well said, far better to be on the outside with Christ than on the inside without him. To whom coming, as unto stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I remember hearing a story years ago about a father, a very wealthy man. After he died, they couldn't find his will anywhere, and the courts were going to decide where everything was going to go, and the things in the home were being auctioned off. And there was a picture of his only son, who had preceded him in death, and it was hanging on the wall. No one was the least bit interested in that except the nurse who had cared for him. And she bought it just for a pittance. But when it was taken off of the wall, a piece of paper fell to the ground. And it was the last will and testament of the father. And he said something like this, "My entire estate goes to the person who buys this picture of my son." And God has everything for us if we have his son, and he has nothing for us except judgment without his son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? We've come to him as a stone, living stones. Christ is the living stone, and we are living stones built on him. For if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Stone upon stone is being added to the building, and some stone will be the last. View the vast building, see it rise. The work, how great. The plan, how wise. Oh, wondrous fabric, power unknown that rests upon God's living stone. God says, on this, he's building his church. And we are a holy priesthood.